and you thought vinyl left. You're listening to the Vinyl Community Podcasts, Everything Vinyl.
This is Surface Noise. This is an emergency pod stream. And you're saying, what's a pod stream? This will end up on the podcast mañana because this is kind of contemporary and it's a live stream. So I'm trying to, you know, people have been stealing my gimmicks, I've noticed, in the vinyl community since I've been here. Cut clips, all kinds of really just nothing that is my intellectual property, mind you, but they're going to take pod stream. Just watch. I'm going to write it down. And Caesar is here. Hello, Caesar. Hey, Fred, you did make it. Spectrum Archives, we were just talking about this being too late for my EU homies and ladies in the place to be. Anyway, Surface Noise, this is the Record Store Day 2024 recap, debrief, exhale, whatever you want to call it. I'm joined by some familiar faces. We'll go through intros and then we'll kind of get into it. First and foremost, we're in different spots because I wanted to take some of the imagery since Arnold always seems to kind of get in this corner and then sometimes obstructed once we get things moving around. So I've got him. He is now below me, and that is, but that doesn't mean he's below me in any sense of the word. And that's Arnaldo. The channel is Fidelius_frequency. How are you, sir?
I am good, thank you. Well rested, finally. Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Then corresponding next to Arnaldo is a regular face. Some say he's the most hated man, the VC. Others say he's just simply misunderstood. That's Jason Rojas. Jason, what's a good word?
Hey, concert buddy. Thanks for, you know, getting me back on here. I know it's a hard life to be a VC villain, a 5+ Karen, but, you know.
Somebody's got to do it, right? I mean.
Right, right.
Nobody's filling out applications on that one lately.
Right. Peace in the VC. Okay. Peace in the VC.
And speaking of rest, our next guest definitely needs it. And it was about a year ago. It was our bro anniversary, I think. Brandon Judd, the channel's punk rock show off. How are you?
Doing well. Very honored to be topping Jason tonight.
It's prime real estate up here, so you know, we got to represent the St. Louis flavor. But let's kind of kick into it. Record Store Day 2024 is the topic du jour. In my travels, and we'll kind of talk about each of our various journeys over the course of the day. But the first thing I noticed, and I kind of was talking to the fellas intermittently about this, there's a shit ton of people out yesterday. Was it just me, or I mean, Arnaldo, I mean, you are obviously in the Empire State. There's a lot of humanity in that area, in that region. What was your impression? Like, do you think it was larger crowds than you're normally used to on this day?
Well, at the local store that I went to, there was, at one point it started raining. So I think I was 14 and maybe there were like four people behind me. And like around 7:15, the owner of the store came out and gave out cards, which he was planning on doing much later. He typically does that around 7:45. He was very considerate of the fact that we were standing in the rain. Mm-hmm. So after giving out the cards, we all scrammed into the cars, right? Mm-hmm. And were there for quite a bit. And since we were parked not facing the store, it was to our back, I couldn't see if people were coming. After, and when we came out of the car around 8:30, because he said he was going to start calling people around 8:45, there was a crowd of people. There was no line. It was a crowd of people because almost everybody had a number. And one guy said to me, I'm number 54. I was like, wow. And I'm sure there were probably other people behind him. So that store in particular, at the time that we opened, there's never really at 8:30, there's never really 54 people in line. It's usually maybe 30. Yeah, 30, 35 at 8:30. And so judging by that store, there were a lot more people. And I was watching another Instagram post of Looney Tunes. And at 8:00, their line was ridiculous. It was wrapped around the parking lot, all the way out to the main street, down the block, turn the corner. It was insane. So from the looks of it, yes, I would say the two stores that I looked at were very crowded.
Interesting. Yeah.
Long story short. Yeah, sorry.
Well,
yeah.
Long story short. No, that's good.
Sorry if I took you on a 5-minute story.
So I wonder, how many people saw that they were going to hand out that Taylor Swift letter and then scrambled to line up. I'm not sure how many people that would pull in, but at least in St. Louis, the stores announced they had those letters like a couple hours before they opened. So I think people had time to make it out to get in the line.
Yeah, I think that probably added to some of the I didn't know anything about it. We were literally in one of the lines and then saw it on a social media post. So it was a little sneaky weeky. And, you know, we can maybe get into that in a second. But Mr. Rojas, down in Texas, what was your experience? I saw the video of one of your spots, Waterloo, and it literally looked like it was a meal line during the Depression. I mean, it was about six blocks. I mean, it's pretty intense.
Wow.
What was going on down there?
It was a madhouse. So let me back up here, give you some context. I'm in Austin, Texas. It is a major city. I think there were about six record stores participating in RSD. And as Concert Buddy said, Waterloo was troubled, you know. my local, which is Piranha Records, so shout out to Piranha, that was backed up. I had not meant to go there first. I had meant to go to Waterloo, but this is funny. I think I told Arnaldo this. I woke up. I was really tired from my, Thursday live streaming or Friday live streaming.
Oh, you did a Friday live stream. It takes
a lot out of it. You know, I had to drop that, you know. So I was tired. But, like, my point is a hangry record player, a record collector, I said player, that's messed up, is a sad record collector. So I had to, like, you know, eat, drink coffee, and then I went, and then a friend of mine, shout out to Tap Records, Terry. Terry was like, I can meet you at Piranha. I was like, oh no, not Piranha. Like, you, because I found out, like, when I was picking up the Taylor on Friday, there was already 10 people waiting at Piranha, you know?
Oh, for the next day.
Yeah, yeah. Camped out.
So what time was that Friday?
That was 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
So I had a bad feeling, and then I spoke with them, like, hey, what are you looking for? And they said, I'm looking for this baby. I guess I forget her name. But
I wonder if it's the one, not to cut you out, is that the one we were just talking about, Brandon? What was that, Seven? No, a different name?
No, that was Chappelle Roan. I think, is it Baby Rexha?
Yeah.
Maybe?
So there was like five people looking for that record. You know? And then, of course, the Olivia was on the list and some other pop stuff. But again, that was like please don't.
No, this is had your way. I mean, we're doing interstate commerce. Don't worry.
Concert Buddy, I said I would behave on this last room. And I wouldn't make fun of anyone. I agreed to this, you know, shaking. But I had a sinking feeling, you know, there was 10 and that was 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock on a Friday. So whatever, I went there Saturday and it was around the strip mall.
Good Lord. Yeah, I know.
And then I was about to like tell my friend, like, hey, I don't know about this. But then I saw him like walking up. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, locked in now.
Locked in. We waited for like maybe 2.5-3 hours in that line.
So I would ask the same question to Brandon. But Brandon had a unique vantage point for his record store day. And if you wouldn't mind sharing with us, because it was a similar strategy employed by a pioneer in the vinyl community. You know, the modern day
an influencer,
part-time male model. You know, often imitated, rarely duplicated kind of guy. Name escapes me, but
some people throw around the term legend a lot. So
yeah, legend's a hard one, you know, or goat. Sometimes they say goat, but that name will come to me. But Brandon, what was your strategy? And from your vantage point, once you tell that story, what did you notice about the line?
It was about 12 people long, probably. from where I could see.
From where I could see. Now tell us why you say from where you can see.
So, a little preface. So last year I went at 3 a.m. to my store and I thought 3 a.m. that should surely do it. Cause if I show up at 6, it's way too late. It's way too late. I'm not gonna get the stuff I want. Get there at 3 a.m. Some jerk in a Nike hat and a Nike hoodie is in SUV or something, like sleeping. And there's just a chair out. And then I realize I'm second in line, even though I got there at 3 a.m. Turns out that jerk went to a show the night before, went straight to the record store after, got first in line, and then we met, and he was very nice to me.
And we won't discuss what that jerk was waiting for, because there's a whole controversy after that. But yes.
Oh, is there?
Oh, yes.
Sure. So this year I employed the same strategy. So I got to my store at about 11 p.m. Friday night and stuck it out. Second person showed up at about 4 a.m. Felt vindicated. There was a bunch of stuff that there was only one copy of that I really wanted. So it paid off. So I'm very happy with it.
Well, no,
I never saw the whole line from where I could see it. So the front of the store is on a corner. And so I just saw up to that end of the corner, and then it turned. And then I did not know how many other people were there.
When you're first in line at 11:30, you said
PM.
Were you standing? Did you have your chair propped?
So I put my chair out, and then also the parking there is pretty light because there's no businesses open around that store like late at night. So put out the chair, and then I just hung out. I parked my car right in front of the store.
Oh, okay. So you had the visibility of your chair, and if someone came and
then I got
there and said, I'm the first in line, no, you're not.
Okay. Well, also a little bit of that is just, you know, hanging out on the street all night. There's bars and stuff. I don't want to get robbed.
What were the highlights of that? Because you did tell me a story. And here's how I knew he was number one in line, because we show up to the same store later the next morning, and I just text him. I'm like, I'm just wondering where he's at, you know? And he goes, I'm at the front of the line. And like, we're like up the block by like a Wendy's or something. And so I asked my wife to stay put, and sure as shit, I walk all the way down, hope, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
I started out sitting in front of the store because I was like, I'll just sit out because it was warmer this year than it was last year. So I was like, I can just hang out, I'll listen to podcasts, whatever. About 45 minutes, I hear this massive loud crash and I look down the street. Some car has hit like a light pole in another car or something and there's just glass everywhere. So, but I still didn't get up and leave my spot because I was afraid of someone doing the same thing and coming at like midnight and being like, yes, I'm first. You know? I didn't get to go.
You did sit on in your chair the whole time.
So no, I sat in my chair for maybe an hour or 2 hours. Okay. And then I was like, it's a little colder. I'm going to just sit in the car. Nobody's here yet. So like, it'll be fine.
Exactly what I did.
Were you in the car when Mr. 4 AM showed up?
Yeah. So I saw him pull up. I saw him get out. He was carrying like some blankets and I was like, that's number two. All right. So then I got out and I was like, hey, what's up? Just got my stuff here. I was in the car. Just whatever. You're second, man. So good luck.
And then he pulled a gun and said, give me all your money. And then Brandon got
Yeah, I know. I'd be like, I have chips. I just ate an entire sub sandwich from a gas station. I don't know.
Now, I got to read this comment before I ask a follow-up, guys. This is Vinyl Piper, Chris, this is a significant record collector. He says, if I showed up early in the morning and there was a chair first in line, nobody there, I would have moved the chair. Now, that's gangster. That is.
Yeah, so that's the kind of thing I worry about because I think a lot of people have sort of a, you know, there's fuzzy rules that some people kind of abide by, some people not. But I just wanted to be close just in case that second person in line showed up who was like, well, you weren't here.
Can you see the car crash? Brandon leaves his post to perform life-saving, whatever, CPR, you name it, fill in the blank. And he saves someone's life or he doesn't. And he turns around and here's a couple of marshmallow heads walking up and just kicking his chair out the way. And so, can you imagine what a terrible situation that would have been?
So next year, Brandon, you're going to have a cardboard cutout of yourself or Taylor Swift with a note saying like, Tay-Tay believes that Brandon should be number one in line.
I went to the gas station to use the restroom and I did consider thinking about just leaving a sign like back in 5 minutes or something. Because there's a gas station like a block away. So if I need snacks or bathroom breaks or whatever, it's there.
Oh, too funny. Well, before we move off this one, just quick around the horn. Why do you think there was just such a massive humanity relative to others? There wasn't a specific Taylor release this year.
So I was thinking that it might just be popularity vinyl increases again this year, so more people know about Record Store Day. I know a lot of people last year, there were several people in line next to us who were just there for Taylor Swift, but they did buy other records, and so they know about Record Store Day now, and they're listening to records, so maybe there's more people out for that. I don't know. And I don't want to say Taylor Swift is responsible for people being into records now.
Sure, of course.
But
of
it's
course.
Certainly brought a lot more people into it, I'm certain.
Arnaldo, what do you think? Because obviously, foot in the business. What do you think? Any kind of root cause analyses that kind of cross your mind?
I don't know. There was no real one release, like you guys said, that attracted people that are not typically record store day participants. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe the interest has just gotten bigger because vinyl sales are becoming more and more prevalent. I would have to say that because I heard a guy talking in line that he said he only started record collecting, I think he said 3 years ago, and he was the person he was talking to, and I already got 750 records.
Oh,
wow.
So yeah, he moves really fast. I think he said like 3 or 4 years ago.
Well, Jason, wow. I'm going to ask you, the follow-up I have for you is a little bit different because when I was in a longer line later, and I won't tell the whole part of that, some people just got frustrated and straight left. Like they'd been in line for multiple hours, probably new to it, probably there for something specific, this Olivia, whatever. And so I started thinking, is that much of a crowd potentially turning new customers or new people to vinyl off? Because if that's their experience of waiting in the line for multiple hours, watching people grab hey, we just robbed the place, Marv, the flippers, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Do you think that the large crowds could be potentially detrimental to bringing in new customers?
They were actually. I met like three people who were near us, like me and my friend in line, younger kids, I guess. The young lady, she was very distraught. She didn't believe in lines, She felt her princessness could get this record immediately, jump her straight to number one in line. So she left in a huff and a puff, after I was explaining to the guy, the line is longer this year, but, we'll get through it. But they left. And then there was another guy who had an appointment with his kids at Barton Springs. And he was like, man, this line isn't going to, we're not going to clear the door in a half an hour. I mean, I have to be honest with him. He was right. We did not clear the line in a half an hour. We were there for at least, another hour and a half, rough.
Intense.
So, it potentially was a turnoff for some people, but, I was going to yell at that guy hey, you quitter, how dare you quit? And you're too good enough for that South Park, RSD that you wanted, Damn.
you just didn't go into full villain mode. I'm disappointed.
No. He left and we were just like, man.
I don't know. That always blows.
What was he there for? Did you ask him?
Yeah, the South Park.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. Oh, yes. He told us.
Well. That great segue. We'll move things around in the running show, but this is a great segue. So let's talk about, from your vantage points, what do you think was the most desirable and least desirable? And I'll kind of kick it off. The South Park, I think, was right up there in the most desirable. Allegedly, it was a run of 4,000 units. I mean, short of fist fights in the parking lots and, a lot of passive aggressivity online I saw this morning. That one was up there. The Jim Croce, I felt, was kind of slept on because I didn't see that anywhere I went. The Gandalf, which I kind of figured was going to be tight, that was another one. Brandon, again, you're first in line. There was everything there. So maybe we'll bring up the rear to you on this one. But Rojas, we'll stay with you on this. What did
there was? There was stuff there that I thought that would have many more copies of. I don't know if it was just the store that I went to, but like in previous years, some of the stuff the bands had released, they had like, I don't know, 7 copies of it. And this year there would be like 1. And it was just really blowing my mind. If I hadn't have been first in line, I don't think I would have gotten everything I wanted. I don't know. South Park. Lots of people were talking about South Park in line, but I saw that. I looked at it and I was like, I don't know. Half of it. Judging by eBay, that Chappelle Roan, that's what I would say.
That was an investment opportunity, is what you're saying.
I saw there was one copy of that. And actually the reason that I picked it up was because vanilla people, and I would say vanilla, not punk rock people that I'm friends with, were telling me and my girlfriend that, oh, check out Chappelle Roan, and then we listened to it and it's like nothing at all we'd be interested in. But I knew that vanilla people liked Chappelle Roan, so I decided to pick that one up because I only saw one copy there. So I was like, okay, I'll take it. That was so my one. That was my one. Like, okay, fruits of waiting for 11 hours. I'll just take that.
That's funny, Rojas. What did you think? Just from your vantage point, most desirable, and even throw in there some least desirables. What do you think are some things that just stunk up the joints?
Okay, the most desirable was probably that Beatles 3-inch record player. I mean,
Hang on a second.
So the funny thing about that, like, let's hold that up.
Well,
I keep talking about this. So when that thing was,
it was a gift. It was a birthday gift, a belated birthday gift.
So Tony Soprano didn't drop that off the truck by accident. Is that what you were saying?
It was paid for. And there were people that came in after and do you have any more? There were only 10 at the store. And looking at what it goes for online, it's already twice what the retail price was on eBay. Okay. And it was already expensive as it is.
So, I mean, the thing is, we would see people coming out of this record store with that. And I know there was like limited at Piranha, but I swear I was joking with my friend, like every time someone came out with that, it should have been like the Price is Right. We should have been celebrating for them, you know, like woohoo, giving them a high five and stuff, you know, that was like a desirable one. That Baby Rexha was hot. A friend of mine texted me, and at Electric Fetus, they had like a whiteboard, and Electric Fetus is in Minneapolis. They would cross out things in the whiteboard. So when they said that the Baby Rexha was sold out, my friend is saying that a girl next to me burst into tears and ran away.
Oh no! That's what I'm saying. We're now, I mean, people are crying and running away the streets. Damn you, record store bastards!
Well, Concert Buddy, you said whenever you got up to the records in Planet Score, they didn't have any of that Olivia Rodrigo there, right? Or there was one.
It was a wasteland. So the store Brandon and I met at when he was number one line this year. It took me, and I got there later. I got there about 40 minutes before opening. My story is a little bit different. I started somewhere else, blah, blah, blah. It took us 2.5 hours to get into the store and then snake around to the line. And by that point, it was a ghost town. It was sad. I mean, the tumbleweeds were blowing in the racks and everything. It was terrible. to the point where you've waited 2.5 hours and you're like, I'm leaving with something. And I want to support these guys. I mean, this is one of my locals. They're good guys. So I picked up a weekend record. And I'm just going to be honest. You guys can kill me in the comments. I'm probably going to flip it because I don't need a weekend live at SoFi Stadium. But you're damn right. I'm not going to leave there for 2.5 hours without anything.
Well, so. I only asked that because when I got to the records, there was that Olivia Rodrigo. They had like 20 plus copies there. So
the store that I went to,
about everybody must have picked
had at least 30 copies of it. He had at least 30 copies of it.
Wow.
So shout out to Nathaniel Mars. That's his story. That the Baby Rexha.
Wow. Look at that.
He was next to that young lady who, you know, fled in tears, you know. I hate you, RSD. I hate you. I hate you. You know.
Mazzy said they didn't have this record.
Right. Even though she should have been like, I hate you, Electric Fetus. I hate you. Like, you know.
Right. Yeah. Have the anger directed in the right way. Arnaldo. What do you think this go around? Because obviously your experience, I'm sure you read some of the stuff probably afterwards and this morning if you're trying to get anything. What did you feel were the most desirable and least desirable units or
albums? I don't know. I think the Beatles turntable, it's not a record. Well, there are four 3-inch records inside. I saw the guy that was there from 7:30 the previous day was in line for the Beatles turntable. The store that I went to only had 10. I was number 15. And I asked a few people ahead of me, are you getting it? Just to make sure that I wasn't going to be disappointed. I think the Bowie seems to be very sought after, even though there were a lot pressed. I want to say 4,000. But I don't think the store that I went to probably had like maybe 10. Mm. And when originally he called people in the first 15 asking, what are you looking for? And he pulled them all aside. And then when the store officially opened, we just went in and paid and or could browse around. I forgot to say that I wanted the Bowie title. And when I was there, I was going through the stack and I was like, wait a minute, where's the Bowie one? And he's like, oh no, you didn't tell me the Bowie one, but we should have some. And when I went to look in the section, there was only three left.
Ooh.
three or four left. So I think that was desirable. And least desirable, the dead box set. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, the Eric Carr. There are still Eric Carrs left.
Oh, yeah.
But it has a USB port.
It's either the dead box or the Eric Carr.
Oh, gosh, that's too funny. Hey, we do have a potential transaction. I do want to float this out. Vinyl Piper Chris says, I got the Beatles record player, and I want to trade it for the Mother Love Bone Apple US OG. So if there's that person watching the presentation, listening to it on the podcast, and you have that Mother Love Bone record, and you have just been itching and twitching for that Beatles record player, hit me up. I'll put you in contact. It'll be a love connection. You can call me the Chuck Woolery of the vinyl community.
Oh, my gosh.
Actually,
Chris Vinyl Piper over here, like, I want to hold your hand.
I have to say something about this. I have the one and the Third Man one.
Yes.
I think the Beatles one is the one that's best made. They got rid of – they used to have these little – you know how that you have the 45 adapters?
Yes.
For the previous ones came with the 45 adapters. Now the spindle hole fits perfectly, even though they give you the 45 adapter, like 45. Now the discs, the Beatles discs, fit perfectly in the spindle hole. You don't need the adapter. So well,
maybe the Beatles saw some of those earlier renditions or whoever, and they're like, no. And they just use their sphere of influence to say.
And also, I don't remember. They all come with like little posters. I want to say the White Stripes one. Yeah, the White Stripes Third Man one did come with posters. I don't remember if the Doors one. By the way, if anyone wants the Doors one, I'm willing to sell it.
Oh my gosh! Oh,
this they got it last year.
Model Craigslist, right here.
$50. Is this whatnot? $50. $45.
I don't have any kind of like sound effects for whatnot, but apparently I need to set something up. I mean, I got
cheap plug.
Cheap plug. Too funny. All right. Well, let's go into another topic here. Let's see if any other comments relative. Yeah, Fred Spectrum Archives says G Love and Special Sauce seem to be pretty hard in demand. I think that's true. I only saw it one place and had it in my hand, but I was really trying to do intentional buying, even though I, had a giant stack by the end of my traverses that day. But yeah, that one seemed to be kind of tough to get. All right, next topic. Let's go with in each of your journeys, highlights or lowlights of the day. Could be something as simple as you made a new friend, or it could be something as simple as the record that you really wanted, you just couldn't find it, and you're just grade A pissed off. So, Arnaldo, we'll go back around the horn. Tell us highlights and or lowlights of your day.
Well, I knew going into it that the store that I was going to did not have one of the records that I wanted, and it is – actually, I'll show it to you.
Oh, so you did get it.
Yes, I did get it. I went to a second store.
Spoiler.
Yes.
All right, making you big. Here we go.
Kristen Hirsch record.
Yes. Okay.
Her first solo album.
And I did, after you mentioned that to me privately, I did see it out later. So.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. Worst comes to worst, if I hadn't found it at the second store that I went to, where actually, I think I was, there was, by the time we got there, it was already open for at least over an hour, maybe an hour and a half. The crowd was very small. There was like four people. But I waited 15 minutes just to get in because they were letting one person at a time and the store was dead. And yeah, lo and behold, there was one copy and I found it. I am looking for something that was not available in the US from the UK, actually, and Europe Record Store Day. So hopefully I'll be able to get that through other channels. But yeah, everything that was on my list, I got.
Well, that's good. That's a win. So no lowlights then?
No.
There was anybody that's acted the fool and you just had to drop them or, like.
No, this time, no. There was no old fogey that wanted the Taylor Swift 45. Hounded me throughout the store to give it to him.
Arnold, I was going to wait for that store. You saw him again, and then you came up to him and said,
"No,
every never, record you choose is mine.
Never,
I have first dibs
never saw
all
him again.
Your selection."
I mean, I'm sure he wanted to flip it.
Of course. Rojas, what about you? The highlights or lowlights of the day? Did you just do the one shop or tell us about it?
Uh-oh, here we go. Since you guys received text messages, I'll save the lowlight story last. The highlight was meeting Tap Records Terry. Shout out to Terry if you're on this watching. I met him at the Austin Record Show, this guy, and we started talking, and he told me he has like a meetup in Austin, you know, once a month. You know, a bunch of people get together and talk about records and sampling and whatnot, and he's a cool dude, you know. So I met up with him again. Since we were waiting such a long time in the line, caught up with him, asked him where he was from, is he a native of Texas, how did he get into records? So that was, you know, again, a highlight, talking to people, and especially Terry. Now we'll talk about the low light.
All right.
So I'll show the record first.
I am. I'll make you big because, you know, if we need to, hear the sad music. You need sad music on this one, Jason? Let us know.
Yeah, we can do sad music. Why not?
I don't know. If you go ahead and keep talking. I'll see if we got it. Go for it.
So my low light is this record right here, the Bowie. As Arnoldo said, the Bowie was actually hotter than, what it was supposed to be. It was not at Piranha. It was not at Waterloo. It was not at End of an Ear. It was not at Breakaway. I was feeling sad, you know? And then I was like writing my sad messages to Concert Buddy, you know, the group chat, Arnoldo, even Chris Vinyl Piper, even Jose. You know, people were not feeling my pain enough, you know? Jeez, you know? No respect, you know? Man.
Wow.
So it's like, there was like one more record store. Like I went on the RSC website and there was like only one more store I'd not go to. I'd never been there before. So I was like, you know what? I'll hit it on my way back. I've accepted defeat, you know, waiting for the sky in defeat, basically.
Oh, I see what you did there.
And I went there and I was just flipping and the guy's talking to me, the owner, who was like a well-known Austin DJ. And I was talking to him and then searching, and there it was. The only copy. It was sold out everywhere. So I got it. And, you know, basically, as I told Cesar yesterday, I must have been having, like, I think Cesar was like messaging us, like, how's it going? And I must have had RSD PTSD because of this. You know, I mean, even Bowie knows how it feels.
Yeah. Well, you know, every record store day, they do these Bowie releases, and then you see them for months.
Yeah.
In the bins. So I think it was probably some of that thinking that I was like, it didn't even cross my radar because I was like, if I hear good things about it, I'll pick it up. Heaven knows it's there for, I mean, literally years. I mean, it fossilizes. It's in these bins for so long, but this one is like smoke. Like it is. I did the online thing this morning looking for a couple little ones and forget it. The Bowie thing was.
And Jason, take note of that store where you found it.
Oh, yes.
Maybe that should be the place where you go next year.
Yes.
First.
it was earth shattering to me. Again, like the guy's like, I think that's the last Bowie. And then I looked at him, the owner, I was like, I could cry right now, but let's not do that in public, right? You know?
Yeah. Well, Brandon, before I get your take on this one, I do want to read Fred Singer. He says, hi for him. Definitely the live sessions in the venue and the bus. You took a bus? Oh, yeah, that's right, because you're in Europe using that public transit. I like it. Next to the main record store I went to, the low, as usual, a big number of titles not being delivered to stores. So that's a buzzkill for sure.
So Tony Soprano got a hold of that truck, I suppose.
There's a lot of stuff that's going to be on eBay that fell off the truck. And I think you're right on that one. So Brandon, obviously the highlight for you was when you realized I was so far back in line that I came and visited you before you took your victory lap around the store. And then I might have asked you to pull a record for me. But in your own words, highlight and low light, if you had one.
Well, I'll tell you low lights. A couple low lights. Got that Ramones Demos thing. It's got the A-side label on both sides. Not happy with that. It's pressed right, but whatever.
That'll be a rarity on Discogs.
Maybe I'm the only one. Let's hope. Because it's not really a great release. Low light, gas station, guy in front of the gas station that I went to. I took three potty breaks at the gas station through the night.
Three.
Every time I walked up to the gas station, same guy was outside coughing the entire time. my dude. And he would walk toward you. I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. but highlight, of course, I mean, if you go to the same record store a few years in a row, you kind of see some of the same usual suspects. So those guys showed up, saw some of the same people from last year. This time I exchanged info with them because I was like, oh, we just picked up our conversation. Like, we didn't have a year-long break in between. Because like last year at Record Store Day, at the time we were house shopping. And they were like, hey, man, how'd it go? Did you ever find a house? And I was like, I don't know you. Like, but that's cool.
Hang on. So Caesar says, my low light right now is getting commercials during this live stream for the third time. Caesar, I'll look into that. I don't know what these YouTube jabronis are doing to you. But, you know, again, it's what keeps the lights on. So I appreciate you watching the Madison Gill or whatever they got you guys watching right now. I apologize for that.
I thought Caesar was going to say the low light was, you know, seeing the Jason Rojas text message. I couldn't find the Boeing, you know.
Oh, Jose is here. Jose says, Caesar, it happened. Now, this is where I can make a really crude joke about it's only happened to our Latino friends. But I'm not going to make that joke because I hope it's not happening to everybody. But we'll look into it. We'll see what it has. Now, Caesar, oh, Jose, I have ad block. Oh, so they're really pushing those ads through. Sorry, fellas. We'll work on it next time.
Oops.
So we can probably get through these last two topics real quick for, again, okay, the show. We're only going to do an hour, no freestyle. So apologies in advance, but, let's talk about this one. The art of the flip is speculation and flipping souring the day for diehards. And I'll kind of set the table because if you guys have been doing Record Store Day for any number of years, or even if you only a couple of years, you know, there's flipping. I just talked about flipping this damn, weekend record out of spite and, you know, frustration. But there's always, you see them every year. There's the guys who, you know, probably can't even pronounce half the bands or the titles, and they leave with a giant stack, and, you know, they put in the time, they've been there for hours and all that kind of stuff. But in my experience, at least this go around, I had a couple people I noticed were so frustrated with this. I mean, there was a group of dude bros after Brandon went through the line that, you know, are having a great time. And I think they're more frustrated, maybe not for knowing they're going to flip these records and taking things that real fans wanted. But these guys stood there for about 25 minutes. And I'm not even exaggerating. 25 minutes, four of them, having a good time, smoking and joking, looking up stuff on Discogs, you know, all this kind of stuff. And literally, people in front of us just got up and left. Like, they were just so frustrated with it. So it got me thinking, you know, because again, I'm not judging flipping, and you know, that's not where this is coming from, but it obviously goes on. And some people, their primary intent. Now, I've in the past maybe picked up a record I knew would be popular, wasn't for me, and might have moved it on down the road to help subsidize some of the ridiculous nonsense I brought into my collection. So, Arnaldo, do you think that flipping, or the art of the flip, the speculation, the people who are just there to just, you know, move things around, so to speak, do you think that that could potentially be a detrimental long-term effect to people who are new to Record Store Day and new to coming to their local record store for whatever reason, Taylor Swift, whatever brought them there to convert them to a long-standing customer? Because I think all of us on this dais are regulars at record stores. Like, we're going to come, you know, lather, rinse, repeat. But Record Store Day is about bringing new people in and, yeah, you know, developing a new customer base and having a positive experience. And when people leave with a bad taste in their mouth, that's not necessarily the store's fault, you know, because it, you know, it's not like they can police people and say, don't buy that record or move on up or whatever. But do you think that that potentially could be a byproduct of some of that behavior?
Yes. And perfect example is the story of BB Rexha, the girl left in tears. Now, when she goes online on Discogs, which she probably doesn't know, or eBay, and finds it for three times the price, she's going to be really annoyed. And next year, if there is a Taylor Swift or a BB Rexha record, she's not even going to stand in line.
Yeah.
So I think for the diehards, it's not going to sour it. But the ones that are just starting out and the casual vinyl buyers, maybe. That's my take. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, Brandon? I mean, again, from your vantage point, the front of the line, you didn't see the trail of tears left in your wake. But what do you think that that could potentially, again, I'm thinking more of newer or folks who aren't regular record store. Maybe they buy records regularly. They buy them online. They have their own thing. But like Arnaldo said, they don't know Discogs. They don't know some of the nuances that goofs like us do. Do you think that the flipper, the people who are just primarily there just to kind of, you know, do what they do, do you think that could be a turnoff for customers?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think about like last year, like if any parents showed up to get that Bluey record, you know, that like Bluey Zoetrope or whatever that's going for crazy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, crazy.
Yes.
Which one?
Then they're letting down their kids.
Which one? It was a picture. Like, it was a picture disc, I think. It was one of those ones that it was picture disc. Zoetrope, I think.
It's got an animation on it.
Right.
Oh, is it a cartoon?
Yeah, it's for kids.
Okay.
Yes. And I guess, you know, enthusiastic adults. I don't know. But, you know, something like that. It's weird because then you get into, like, defining, like, what's a true fan? Or, I mean, I think anyone who's, like, been in record collecting for a long time knows flipping happens. It just happens. Hey, I partake sometimes, too. Guilty as charged. Like, it happens because, you know, this stuff isn't free. So, like, if I can have the collection, pay for the collection, great. Now, but it sucks when you're on the receiving end of it because I've seen that before. I've been in line before and, like, people, like, you know, two people up get the last copy of something I was looking for, and they've got another stack going, and they're clearly, they don't know what it is. I just saw them on their phone on eBay. I know where that's going. Like, it sucks to be on the receiving end of it. I think it's always going to be there.
That's the nature of the beast, right?
And I don't know, maybe that girl who ran away crying, maybe next year there's a release she wants, and she's like, oh, I have to get there early, and she just becomes us.
Oh.
You know, I don't know. It either turns people off completely, or maybe they just adapt. I don't know.
So I think you just triggered a lot of people, Brandon, with that reference, because we've got Kevin saying Bluey is great, even for adults. Leland popping in, he says, P.S., I'm still looking for the Bluey picture disc. So, again, maybe we can make a left connection if that exists. But, Jason, what do you think about this? Because, obviously, you've been doing this a long time, and you've seen the different iterations of the hobby you've been doing it over 20-plus years, right? So, I mean, do you think that as the Record Store Day committee sits up in their ivory tower and they tell us the titles we should be excited about and sends records off to people to kind of induce, you know, the phobia, the FOMO, what have you, do they consider that maybe, you know, press some more titles, maybe make more people happy? What do you think about the flipping? Uh-oh, Arnaldo said, peace out, bitches. What do you think about this one, Jason?
It's a tough one, you know. Brandon talking about the Bluey record, it kind of gave me a bad, like, you know, it could be a bad acid flashback or something, you know, because friends of mine, they actually wanted the Bluey. So I was like, if I see it. And then when I went to, what was that, last year? I think it was last year, right? For that Bluey.
Yeah.
I went to Electric Fetus and I remember asking for the Bluey. And I believe the people at Electric Fetus kind of, you know, tried to hold their laugh on, you know, me, like, you want the Bluey? You know, they're trying to hold it, but it was immediately sold out. So, yeah, for like new people getting to the hobby, it's going to be tough. I like Brandon's optimism here, you know, like adapt.
Oh, that's not optimistic at all.
That is
very pessimistic.
But it's going to be tough, you know. Flipper's going to flip, you know.
Flipper's going to flip, especially coming out of COVID, which I think was like jet fuel to a lot of the speculation piece of the hobby. I mean, it was already going on, right? Like Discogs and all these other variables, nefarious forces, right or wrong, we're driving the price of first new vinyl. Now it's obviously trickled down to used and the store level, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, COVID added jet fuel to that. And here we are, Record Store Day. Well, they've been doing it since what, 2007, 2008. So you're going on 15, 16 years of this. And yeah, it's not going to change. I'm sorry. We cannot single hand. We can start a petition on right or change.org and we can do all those kind of things. But the reality is flipping is going to happen, but still stinks. Well, Arnaldo was so passionate about that last topic.
Yeah.
So Arnaldo just texted me. He has a malfunction on his laptop. He has the Bluey screen.
Oh, no. No.
Setting him up, knocking him down.
So we're going to have to muscle up. So Arnaldo, best wishes. As Jose said earlier, Jose, he put it so eloquently. I have to find it. He said, RIP Arnaldo. So we're going to pour one out for Arnaldo as we finish up the truncated Surface Noise RSD spectacular in prime style. Last topic, and then we'll kind of get some commentary. Well, let's get a couple of these first. So Michael Tedder, local friend, said, this is a good question for the dais. The question is, do you lie when the person that any person or anyone in front of you asks what records you are here for? So Brandon, and this is what our conversation yesterday or last year when I met you, did you hold back because you just didn't want to, you know, lose out on what could be potentially one copy like we were just talking about?
No, I think it's better to know. But if someone tells me what they want, then I say, I want that too, if I'm in front of them. As a joke. Every time. Without fail.
Good deal. What about you, Jason? What how's a delicate way to say this? Do you consciously withhold information as a competitive advantage?
No, absolutely not. I heard everyone, if you know me, I already have too much record, too many. Like, I am too many records.
Hang on, that's trademarked somewhere that he had said, that's not us. It's tongue in cheek. But again,
I'm not afraid. Like, even if, you know, if the person in front of me told me like they wanted this record and there was only one at the store and they, you know, maybe I was ahead of them or whatever, I would totally give it to them. Like, I don't need it. Like, I have too many, you know. Records come and go. So my friend Terry, he wanted that Nightmares on Wax. And since I was above him, like just in the line, I found it. It was the only copy. I gave it to him. You know, I wasn't looking for it, but that he told me what he wanted, you know?
Yeah.
And then I kind of joked with him like, well, I think this is the last copy. And then he looks at me, goes, maybe the only copy. I was like, whoa.
Oh my gosh. I'm really slipping. I mean, that could have been.
Well, I don't know. It's,
I mean, yeah, I don't have the right dump for that. I'm sorry. Yeah,
when I was in line, some other joker who was like way behind me was texting me. He was like, give me that Gandalf. And I was like, what is
oh,
that?
Oh God, that guy had to be a real asshole. That's all I know.
You know, Brandon, when that was probably happening, I was also getting like group messages of, you know, pictures of the Gandalf and, you know, like, and I was like, wow, really? But I thought that was only retailing for,
listen,
you know.
Listen, guys, desperation. Years. Desperation is a serious thing. And I didn't even share my story, and we'll get to the last topic. We'll get out of here. But yeah, I started at one of my locals who in previous years, you could show up just a couple hours and get a good spot, decent spot. So they opened at 9. I got there a little bit by 7. We tried to. And literally the line, I'd never seen it this packed. The line extended from the beginning of the store all the way, like 360 degrees around the store. I'd never seen it like that before. So rather than even try, I was like, we're getting out of here because we're going to go to my friend's shop over in Southern Illinois. Anyway, I was like, let's just bounce over there, start the day, blah, blah, blah. And so fortunately, that worked out for a lot of different things, but then it kind of messed up the rhythm of how I was going to hit the shops, and certain ones opened at 9, 10, 11, blah, blah, blah. So by the time we got to the store Brandon's talking about, Planet Score, you know, they were 40 minutes from opening. And so I was kind of resigned to not getting certain things. And listen, it doesn't hurt to ask a brother. Doesn't hurt to ask a brother. And it works, Brandon could have run as, you know, report me to, you know, like the Federals or something like that, but he didn't.
The Federals.
Raleigh's, yeah. All of a sudden, two guys with like a steel axe come up, you know, with the alligator shoes, and that's all we wrote, right?
RSD police, like, are you concert buddy?
Yeah, excuse me, concert buddy. We need to talk to you over here, and then you never see me.
Right. Well, then they come talk to me, and I'm like, I don't know that guy.
Yeah, no idea. Yeah, because yeah, report me anonymously, of course.
Records, like the round things. I don't know.
I'm just here for the love letter, the Taylor Swift love letter. So last one I want to talk about, and I talked to Jason a little bit about this before, and it's very interesting. So for those who don't know, let me put this up in the thing. So last minute, I call this last minute shop getting inventory, ? Now, a quick little overview is, if, you know, Record Store Day was created in the spirit of propping up a lot of the independent record stores. And oh, Arnaldo is back. Hang on. He has risen. Arnaldo, welcome back to the program.
Sorry, I got the blue screen of death.
A miracle. Well,
we were talking about that Bluey record. I think we might have like
maybe, poisoned. Yeah, that's right.
Arnaldo's back. Big, big joy. Hang on. We gotta hit them all. We gotta hit them all. Yeah, Michael Jackson is excited to. We're just dumping out. We're dumping out the drops. But so yeah, last topic. So. Well, so Record Store Day was started as you know, a way to build a coalition to lift the independent record store, yada yada. And doing so, there's certain rules they put in place. You know, you can only get one, you know, title per person, and, you know, to try to make it you know, as democratic as possible, including rules about when all stores can put their existing inventory online, yada yada. And obviously, there's a little bit of deviation here, there, and everywhere. But one that I always thought was interesting, and I've noticed this a lot more, especially through what I'll call influencer retailers, is that, you know, in order to participate in Record Store Day, these retail stores have to sign a pledge saying they will not open early, they won't hold titles. Or, like, again, there's like a preamble to this, and it's admirable. I appreciate it. But I've noticed the last year, two, three, whatever, there's stores that will get last minute, I'm using air quotes, last minute RSD merchandise, but they're not part of the coalition. They don't sign the preamble. They don't, you know what I mean? And so somehow, like Jason and I were making the Tony Soprano joke, oh, these fell off the truck and, you know, come get them. And listen, I'm not trying to point fingers. I'm just bringing it up because it's interesting because I've noticed it's a growing coalition. The more stores I follow through social media and the more that I kind of have awareness of, that I know are not, and stores choose to be part of RSD or they choose not to, and more power to them. It's nothing like that. But the stores that deliberately choose not to participate and then magically have at the 11th hour, just, you know, a couple titles here. It's nothing big. It's, you know, maybe 20, 30 records. I find that very interesting. And I was curious, your guys, because again, the idea is the stores who do participate, the ones who take out bank loans, take out sizable, you know, they have music, they have bands, they really make it a big production. Like, that's a lot of work. And I'm not saying that these folks are kind of shortcutting it, but I do find it interesting that there's, let's call it the backdoor party, that these other, and again, it feels like it's more influencer stores that I noticed through social media. So one, have you guys noticed this? And two, what do you think about that? Is that, how does it make you feel? Let's say that. Arnaldo, I'll start with you since you're back in the seat.
I haven't noticed it. But I have my little theory now that you're describing the whole thing, the whole phenomenon, that it's possible that distribute, because everything goes through the distributor.
Right. Distributor model.
You're not buying directly from the labels, you're buying from the distributor. And it's possible that the distributor has unallocated stock that none of it, their stores put in orders for. Mm-hmm. And in order to get rid of it, because I don't know, maybe they'll be stuck with it, they send out emails and solicit other stores that are not part of Record Store Day to buy them. I don't know. That's my theory.
No, that's a good theory. I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
What kind of titles are you seeing, though?
I mean, I'm not saying, like, I don't know. I mean, just, you know, the Bowie, like the things that are just kind of what I would say the, you know, the some desirables.
But it pressed in high quantities, because I was wondering. My theory may make sense for that.
Yeah, that carries more weight. Like, I didn't see any Gandalf, for example. Well, I did see one Gandalf, one of those guys. But, you know, it's more of the 4,000, 5,000, Pearl Jam, 15,000. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the longer runways for the most part. But, yeah, I mean, that distributor thing. And that's something I kind of was wondering, too, because that happens even post-Record Store Days. The distributors have leftover stock. And they'll reach out to their network and say, hey, does anybody, you know, maybe somebody be like, hey, we've got more Olivia Rodrigo. And, you know, all the independents are like, yeah.
Funny story, because of that, I don't know, was it like 10 years ago? Jason, did you get it? Because I wanted to get it and then didn't. The big star third pressing in the box set.
I never got it the first time around.
Well, what happened was, it sold out, and then 2 months later, it appears on Pop Market.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen
that before. And I even didn't at that time. I was like, should I get it? Should I not get it? And I was like, how is this possible that 2 months later, this was a Record Store Day piece. It appeared like in June. So that got me wondering. I don't know if I doubt they repressed it. Maybe it was stock that got lost, right, in the warehouse somewhere, fell off the truck.
Oops.
It appeared.
Where did all those Macho Man RSD
edition? No, right.
A year later. Where did they come from?
A year later, and it's still too soon. I mean, it's painful. Rojas, what do you think about this one? Have you noticed this? I know we casually talked about this offline, but what do you think about this?
Let me just give you that look there.
Oh, hang on. This is a young man, no longer with us. His name is Anthony Soprano, I believe, Senior. And he's got a look on his face like that Joe Pesci album. Take that four boxes and just fall off the truck and get out of here.
That's right. What you talking about, Concert Buddy? What you talking about?
Forget about it.
But seriously, I've only seen that minor happen Austin, but that's for the stores that don't necessarily participate, you know?
Right.
So that's, maybe a friend of a friend went and waited in the line or whatever, and then, you know?
Well, I've even had, it's funny you said that. A couple years ago, the Planet Score shop that we've talked a lot about tonight, I was there and there was a Pearl Jam. I think it might have been the Unplugged, the year they did the Unplugged album. And I was about to dig through the bins, and there was a lady who, her husband ran another shop in town, so I knew her. And she literally was in the back part of the line, and she said, "I'll give anyone $20 if they pick the Pearl Jam and then meet me out front right now." Like,
really?
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know if she went and then sold it at the store. I think she was legitimately a Pearl Jam fan, but it did make me kind of think, like, wow, that's some kind of interesting interplay, because I know that your husband literally is doing an RSD event like right now. And it blew my mind.
So you didn't yell back, Concert Buddy, make it 25, and Eddie Vedder is yours.
I said Ulysses Grant was actually from the state of Missouri, so show me, we are the show me state, so show me Ulysses Grant and make it happen. Oh my gosh, funny. Brandon, what do you think about this? And have you noticed this at all? And do you think maybe, I think Arnaldo's probably got the best working hypothesis going here.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, when I read that little blip in the email, I didn't really know what we were talking about. So
surprise.
I have noticed. I do love, I do think that the pledge, the rules of the day have been in place for a long time. I like having that. I'm just saying, maybe has Record Store Day completed its mission? And then they can say, ooh, 2025, we're done. And then we can go to record stores every day at regular hours. We don't have to sleep in our cars. We don't have to go to the bathroom in a gas station down the street. We can just go to the store and enjoy music that we love.
So Brandon is trying to say that every day is Record Store Day, right?
Well, that's something I've noticed too. Have you ever seen the people who didn't know it was Record Store Day show up to the record store?
Oh, yeah.
And wait in line still and buy records that are not part of Record Store Day? It's so weird. I think, great, come support the shop. But you could come literally any other day and it would be so much easier.
I like it. All right. Well, I think we've beat – this is official. I mean, maybe we'll talk about it in future Surface Noise extravaganzas in passing. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, I saw the videos. People are doing recap videos. And I thought, you know, it would be a greater thing. Let's close it out with, if anyone wants to talk about the favorite thing they picked up, or if they want to show something they're real proud of, we can round out with them, because, you know, show and tell is kind of how these things work. But what do you got? Let's just show one or two, and then we'll round it out. So we don't keep. I know there's some other live streams waiting, so I don't want to be a dick to those guys.
Let's do best and the worst, right?
Best and worst. Go.
The worst. This one, it was at 60, but people are retailing it at 70 or higher.
All right. For our visually impaired, what is it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Concert Buddy. This is the Roger McGuinn, Chris Hill, and Marty Stewart. This is them celebrating the Byrds album, Sweetheart of the Rodeo. Again, 2 LP. Should have been retailed at what, like between 30 and 40 for a double? But no, it was retail. I mean, my local had the cheapest for 60, but retail was 75. I did not see this at the other stores. It was gone. Like this one, like... I love it. I love the Byrds. You know, let's be honest. I wanted this. I missed the tour when they did this in 2018. I missed it. Mm. But this was expensive, and, you know, and they told their hokey stories, you know, like, I love the Byrds, but, you know, McGuinn and Hillman just, you know, it's about the music, stupid. Like, there's no reason to, you know, tell everyone that Graham Parsons is dead and they deserve the credit. Like, dudes, just play the music. You know, you're already legends.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. This is worse now?
No. This is the best deal. Okay. At $20, this is the Everything But the Girl that made a vow. This is their BBC sessions. $20. Look at this. You even get a booklet. Like, whoa.
Whoa.
Color, you know?
I mean, totally, booklet.
This is how much it should cost.
With
Let's
words?
Go back,
are
know?
There words
Honestly.
In that? Or is it just,
yeah, is it just pictures? What is it?
Just pictures. Beautiful. I mean, but this was the value. I mean, think about this, you know?
For $20, that's pretty good.
$20, 45 RPM, and then half speed mastered by our favorite Beatles, you know, mastering engineer, Miles Showell. you know.
So there is value still. Record Store Day is what we're taking.
Oh yes, yeah. This was totally
delightful. All right, Arnaldo, you're happy about
one title. I was holding my breath on because the store had told me I only got one copy, and when I got in, through the door, he still had it, and it is the Lou Reed tribute. I listened to this is the first record that I listened to, and I love it. Light in the Attic will put out a black vinyl without the foil cover.
Mm-hmm.
I see it on their website, so I wouldn't have been so disappointed if I didn't get this version, but I'm happy that the only copy they had went to me. And then something that was very interesting is the Kate Bush picture disc.
Oh yeah, that's really cool looking.
But I thought it was all picture disc. The picture is on one side and it's white vinyl with the grooves on the other side. So let's hold it upside down. Here we go. I have not listened to it yet. I will let you know how the white side sounds because I'm curious to know if this is actually, they're making progress on picture discs where they figured they don't sound that great. So let's press the music on the side that's color vinyl and put the picture on the other side just
because of like
the artwork.
Is it a white picture on the back or is it actually like a
press? It looks like it's pressed.
Yeah.
But okay. I have to listen to it to tell the difference. I haven't listened to it yet. But it'd be cool. I'll let you guys know.
Yeah.
Nice. That's it.
All right. Well, we're gonna put you to the test, Brandon. And that name, Punk Rock Show Off. Are you gonna show off some punk?
Sure, yeah.
Boom. What do you got?
Horse the Band's 2009 album, A Natural Death, never been on vinyl before.
Nice.
And the CD versions, there's varying CD versions with different track lists. So some people, I only found out a few years ago that there was a song on this album that I had never heard before. But that whole track list is restored on the vinyl. Offspring's 2003 Splinter 20th Anniversary Edition. Only problem with this is that they only pressed it to picture discs. I hope there's like a regular press coming. Worst, actually the greatest one was that Chappelle Roan.
He's got it in a special protective sleeve. I don't know if you've seen
that. Yeah, I got
that.
It.
That U-line.
I don't know. Some of those records, they should just sell with mailers.
That's crazy.
I don't know. Worst one. Ramones is my favorite band, but this is probably the worst one. I've heard all this before. It's the demos. It's been bootlegged so many times, and they didn't even get... we're aware of some other song demos that exist that are not here, that are actually on some bootlegs, so it's incomplete. I don't know. I'm still
going to do it. Incomplete, does it sound okay? I mean, did they give you...
I haven't put it in yet.
Okay.
I haven't spun it yet. I was mostly sleeping.
So same RSD PTSD, right? Just, you know, like, oh my
god, it affects us all differently
yeah. Differently.
All right, so I'll close on this one. So first of all, guys, you should be proud of me. I only got one jazz record. I said I was only gonna get one jazz record, and gosh golly, I only got one jazz record. I did pick up the Bill Evans. I haven't even taken the price tags off, so don't make fun of me. It's been a long 24 hours, I'll say that.
So Concert Buddy, was it mastered at RTI? Is it 180 gram? Was it mastered by my favorite engineer?
It was mastered by your role model and mine, Kevin Gray, over at Coherent Audio. This is over at RTI. 180 gramos. I don't know if that's Spanish, Jose. Correct me in the comments, but I think gramos is the official unit of measure. And then I'm gonna. I've seen a couple of people talk about the Collective Soul. I did talk about it in my little top five video, but. This is another one that I noticed was harder to track down for folks this morning. So I'm glad I did pick this up. Kraft has done a nice job with their back catalog before. So I'm glad I didn't like play the game of, well, I'm not going to get it here for 30 because I can get it for 29 at a different. That's a fool's goal. And then, guys, I mean, this is where the tomatoes get thrown at screen. But it was one of those things, and I'm sure you guys can relate that, you know, you're there. It's a novelty. You're like, what the hell? And it's not the Joe Pesci. I slipped on the Joe Pesci, but I got the Pauly Shore.
And the Crestus.
I mean, and it's middle age. I mean, it's like older than me, Pauly Shore. I was hoping it would be the Wheeze for this situation, but it's the Pauly Shore that literally wheezes between songs. So it's, yeah. And I told myself, don't do it. And then I got that. My fingers touched it, and I felt like a shock through my body. It was like a lightning bolt. And I knew that it had to jump in my stack. So Make fun of me all you want, but it is what it is, what it is. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. I want to thank my panelists for sharing their experiences, good, bad, and indifferent. This is Surface Noise. I am the one, the only, Concert Boudet. I want to thank my guests. I want to go back around the dais. Jason Rojas, who, oh, now he's showing two real
Flippers
burners.
Gonna flip. Flippers gonna flip. Flippers gonna flip. Flip. Feel it. Feel it.
Wow. Oh, no. This is where it happens. This is where it happens. This is my PTSD, RSD happening. Oh, my gosh. You guys. Yes. Can I? Is this like the ring from Lord of the Rings?
I'm sorry. Did you want this? Is that what you were saying? Concert Buddy.
Oh, no. Oh, Brandon is really. Oh, God. He's gonna use some dull scissors and really flip damage.
Nobody really. This was all hanging there all day.
Listen, the Captain Beefheart, that is the best haircut I've seen on an album cover probably ever. I mean,
look at this. He's
skull
it. He's your Uber driver, right? Where are you going, ma'am?
Oh, I love it. The legend.
Anyway. Obviously to the party.
Right.
Yeah, the party starter. Jason Rojas, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Concert Buddy.
Arnaldo, I'm glad, despite the technical difficulties, I'm glad you could resume and finish
Sorry about that. Looks like the blue screen was not so bad, actually. Sad face. Right. Not anymore. Thanks, Concert Bunny, for having me.
Concert Bunny? Who the hell is Concert Bunny?
I said Buddy.
It's still April.
Oh, this is true. This is true. And the number one in his line and number one in our hearts, Brandon Judd. The channel is Punk Rock Show Off. Congratulations on having your record store day dreams come true and sharing them with us tonight.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care. We'll see you again. Actually, Surface Noise this Thursday. Don't sleep on it. So less ads. I will make sure there are less ads. We don't need any more Cialis or whatever you guys were watching. Apologies. I'll work on that.
Taco Bell.
Yeah, no Taco Bell, any of that stuff. Anyway, thanks for joining us.
And that was another trip around the turntable. Thanks for listening to Vinyl Community Podcasts.